At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 264th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show. And joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Jobson Jr. My man, how you doing?
I am doing well. I'm just going to let everybody know, a little disclaimer. Austin, house issues, so he's recording from his phone. So if he doesn't sound like he usually does, it's because he's recording from his phone. It's probably going to be like that for a little bit as they're doing a little remodeling on their home. So just kind of preparing you for that. You cool with me saying there, Austin? Or doing?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, okay. Basically, yeah. It's cold in Michigan, and we've had a pipe issue before. It reached probably its worst case scenario. So that's all I'll say in that regard. My hope is by next week that I do the podcast, I'll be able to get my mic set up and like use my laptop. Because my laptop currently isn't set up where I need it to be, and it doesn't have my mic set up with it. Once I can get my mic and I can use that for my laptop, I shouldn't have to do this anymore, thankfully. So just for this week, though, on short notice, I'm like, I have to use my phone because of all the hell that's going on inside my house, though.
Yes, so I wanted that and made sure that was clear because I didn't want to message it. Because I do have my people that message me about the show. I didn't want to hear, hey, you didn't sound as good this week. Well, yeah, we know. I was like, we are fully aware of that. But after I do the editing stuff, you might not even notice. But yeah, I am doing good. Great week. The NFL playoffs start this week. For teams that have number one seeds like me and you, you know what that means. Last week was the pre-show, okay? It was the pre-show. It was get the losers out the way. Now now it's real playoff time, okay?
Right.
Yeah, so it's real playoff time. We got the Browns out the way. So the Chiefs got the Texans. Of course, everybody's on their cope thing, and they're trying to tell you 100 really the reasons the Houston Texans can beat the Chiefs this week. I'm used to it, so whatever. Dan Orlovsky said the Rams are the most dangerous team in the NFL. In the NFC, and I just laughed. And I was just like, okay. Mm-hmm. It's just like what you do in a regular season doesn't really matter. It's like the Lions lost, what, two games?
Two games.
Two games this season. So all of a sudden they're beatable now?
Like, what? Hey, man, look. People can think what they want, though. It's like, here's the deal, though. You can think all you want about our team. You got to come into Detroit and play playoff games in Detroit. Yeah. Good luck.
So, yeah, so first you got to, you know, survive getting mugged there, and then you got to play a football game. So, I don't know. Y'all have the definite home field advantage. But no, I'm just really excited about sports this week. Chiefs play Saturday. When you, do y'all play Saturday also?
We play Saturday night.
Yeah, see, the one seeds. We do this. And so this should be fun. I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to guarantee you're going to win. I'm just saying it's more than likely what's going to happen because, you know, you tend to use history to come up with your new results, and history says we don't lose. So let's see how that works. But it'd be fun. Hopefully we get Kansas City and Detroit in the Super Bowl like we want, like we need, like sweet baby Jesus has probably promised me. So, yeah, don't mess it up. Okay.
See, we got the easier pack personally, I feel like, than you guys do, because you've got either the Bills or the Ravens you're gonna have to face in the AFC title game.
It's
pretty much almost guaranteed that we're gonna be facing the Eagles, and I think the Lions have the ability to beat the Eagles.
Hey, we got mind control over Buffalo.
You do, yes.
In the regular season, they think they can win. They come in. They be like, oh, we winning. And then, you know, we lose again. And it's very depressing for them. I feel bad.
If they don't beat you this year, they're going to never beat you, Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback.
You know I said that. That is my statement. I feel like this is the Bills' best team that we're going to play against. I wouldn't say our worst team, but our team that doesn't have as many strengths as theirs. They have more strengths than us. So if they're going to beat us, it's this year. But the problem is they have to play Kobe and Shaq. And that's what I've been calling Baltimore lately. I've been calling them Kobe and Shaq. Because you got the best player in the NFL with, like, you know, it's almost like, it's almost more D-Wade and Shaq. Because Lamar Jackson is, like, one of the best players in the world. You know, and you had, you got the running back that has, you know, he... People thought his best years were ahead of him or behind him.
Derrick Henry had way more left to give.
Yeah. So, and then he comes and he plays with this amazing player, and he's like, oh, so you mean I don't have to carry the ball 400 times this year? I only can carry it like 222? Oh, shit.
Boom.
No. But I am really looking forward to the playoffs, if you can tell. This is pretty much the only time of year you're going to have to deal with this, and you might only have to deal with it for 1 week from both of us. I hope not, but you might only have to.
Yeah, no. I need to make sure that it continues onward.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to cry in the car if we lose. I'll just throw it in the car. This grown man is going to cry over a game that he is not playing in. I will tell you this right now. They told me I would grow out of it. I have not.
That's for sure. No, so yeah. But either way, getting back to the AEW level stuff, we got a lot to talk about with wrestling. We got a lot to talk about with AEW with Maximum Carnage taking place in Cincinnati, Ohio. So we got a lot to get into with that show. Before we get into everything, though, guys, we want to make sure you are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible, and check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Big news of the week, guys. The voting is closed. The ATE Awards, we have all the results in. We have all the votes in, and voting is closed, and there will be a results show coming. I will not be a part of it, unfortunately, because I'm unfortunately dealing with a lot. Like I said, house kind of underwater and also very busy with work. So our buddy Floyd and our buddy JR will be handling the results show coming up. But the voting is closed, and of course, we're going to be getting the results of who gets the all-in tickets as well, announced very shortly as well. But it's going to be a very exciting time to see what you guys chose for the ATE End of the Year Awards. I'm excited to listen to it, honestly. It's going to be a fun listen, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, I was like, we could have ran through it at the beginning of one of our shows, but one of our suggestions that we've went through is that our show was a little long. So we've been working to not necessarily shorten it, because we want to get all the information out there, but to, you know, not take too much of your time. So if you try to do the awards, right, you're either going to speed through the awards or you're going to speed through the show. that's why I was like, I'll just give the show its own time and then give the awards its own time.
Yeah, so we just want to make sure we give that its proper amount to be able to get people to get into it. And yes, we do tend to go a little bit long with the show, and we don't want to bury it because it's very important, and we worked really hard to make sure we get as many people to vote on this as we can. And we appreciate everyone who did take part of the poll. We really do appreciate
it. And I will be drawing. I will be doing the contest. I always bring in a second person that doesn't care who wins as I do the drawing to just kind of watch me and be like, okay, it was fair. And then announce the winner because, I don't know. I keep myself honest. I don't need anyone to keep me honest. I keep myself honest. There's no reason. I don't care who wins the tickets personally. So,
yeah.
But I do like to keep a third party in there to say, okay, yeah, he used the randomizer and this is the name that came up kind of thing.
For sure, for sure. Real quick, though, I do want to say one thing about Collision, though. I needed to mention a couple things off of that because we're not going to touch too much on it, though, for the most part. I had to really give a shout-out to Commander, who I thought did a really good job in his match against Pac. That one was a lot of fun. I also have to say the Mariah May Harley Cameron match was booked specifically for me, so if you're wondering who that match was for, it was for me. And even though it was an okay match, I just need to really give a shout out because that crowd loved these two. Like the excitement level because the characters were so well done and these two have been just on top of their game when it comes to their character work. It carried the fact that the match itself was just okay, I felt like. So, like I said, it was fun. Everyone's into it. And I think that's the most important thing about the match. And I just got to give shouts out, especially to Harley, because she's improved dramatically over the last few just months, years. She's gotten so much better, and you know, I just love the fact that this match got booked in the first place. And the TNT and the TT championship match between Garcia and Shibata too was also was also pretty fun too, I would say.
We're not gonna
touch Dax and Jericho. We could skip right over that.
I messaged Rich. I was like, they need to never. I'm like, you either run that match back next week and give us, you know, the real match, or never do it again, because it was just one of those things. When you perform a live, you're doing a live performance, live art or whatever, shit, you're gonna have off nights. That felt like off night, and they may tell me it was an off night. And I'll be like, you know what? You're the professionals. I'll listen to you. But it just looked like they had a really, really, really off night. I mean, that's what I'm just going to say. The end was everywhere, and it gave a lot of people fuel and fire. But, you know.
Especially towards their hate towards Jericho.
Yeah, but it's just like when you do what they do for a living, you know, you're occasionally going to have a stinker. Especially when you've done it as long as Chris Jericho has, and as long as as long as Dax are. And I honestly thought, based on how fast they move, based on the style of wrestling they like, they were going to be perfect for each other.
Right.
And it just didn't work out. And shit happens. And, you know, shit happens. You take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and there you have the facts of life. I know.
Pretty much.
I don't know. I don't know if you've ever even watched that show, but it's one of the greatest TV themes of all the time. Because it teaches you a story. But yeah, that's what happened. They're like, I'm not going to step away from it. Well, boy didn't have a great night, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Still my boy. He didn't have a great night. Shit happens, bro.
It is what it is, man. It is what it is. Now, you have something written in here that I had to just read out just in general. And we touched on it a little bit before we even started recording, though. And you brought it up. What do you have written into these notes, Floyd? Do you want to share what this says?
It seemed like everyone turned on AEW booking. And this is an absolute statement, something I used to stay with, because not everybody turned on them. I, of course, have not turned on AEW's booking. But I think it was Monday, they announced I don't even know if the main event of Collision, but a match on Collision, stemming from Collision, was going to be a six-man match. On one side would be the Death Riders of Moxley, Claudio, and Wheeler teaming with the Learning Tree versus, on the other side, Rated FTR,
mm-hmm.
The Outrunners and Will Hobbs, which, again, when they saw the match, I'll tell you my initial thought. I thought it was weird that they would be announcing Will Hobbs in a 6-on-6 match the literally after his world title match, because I feel like that was telling you he wasn't going to win the world title.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my only thought. That was my only thought. Weird. They announced it. I went to bed. Went to bed. Slept real good. Woke up the next morning. Oh, my God. This is the problem with AEW booking. AEW going in the shithole. I'm done with AEW. And I'm used to seeing this as an AEW fan. I'm used to seeing it from the Brian Last and the JD from New York, Jonathan Coachman. I could name Alfred, whatever. I don't see him because I blocked him a long time ago. But they're, you know, the same people to say it. Surprisingly, and again, we are the proclivity of positivity. We try to, well, no, positive side, but when something so out loud happens, it has to be addressed. This was the hardcore fans. These are the people I follow, I communicate with, I like. They're like, oh, this WWE booking bullshit. Jericho, I mean, Mox's whole thing has been that he's against the nonsense in professional wrestling. And what does he do? He teams up with the biggest nonsense act in professional wrestling. Apparently, neither the Death Riders or Rated FTR are over at all. The crowds don't react to them at all. And AEW's in the mud. And to shorten it up, AEW's booking is in the mud. And this is why attendance is down. This is why this is down. How dare they? And like I said, usually 98% of the time I'm going to ignore it, going about my business. But these are the hardcores. These are the people that I expect to see at the show or at least in the Discord commenting about the show while the show is on. These are the hardcores. Some of these people have tickets to All In already. And they seem to be fed up with the world title picture in AEW. And, you know, on other things, but it seems to be John Moxley's title run and the idea, that they don't basically know what his end goal is, and a lot of different things come out. Honestly, we could probably do an hour and a half show over all the complaints that were made, but I can't do that. We can't do that, but basically AEW seems to have a problem with their hardcores right now.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see any of this?
I didn't see the responses on social media, but I will say everything that you brought up, though, honestly, it's been some stuff that I've like been like, hey, like we need to take a look at this, or this needs to be corrected, because I feel like you keep going down this road, and I think now just more of the, like you said, the fans that are hardcore about AEW, like we are. We are hardcore about AEW. I'm a little bit more critical just because of the last couple of years and just the way things have gone, and I feel like there's just been situations where I'm like, we could have avoided a lot of stuff if we had just cut this off in the past or if we just kind of audibled, and I felt like we kind of just drove into a direction full steam ahead, and I'm like, hey, maybe we should maybe not do this, or maybe we should try to explain this a little bit more, or all that kind of stuff. So I feel like now you've just seen it where it's come to a head, and I think it's just the problem with the fact of, like, we brought it up. I think it's not a roster problem. It's booking-wise, I think the problem all stems from AEW has a championship problem, not just from the fact that they have all the titles that they have. It's that you don't see the championships. It's like they don't even exist. Like, obviously, Moxley carries the damn AEW world title in a briefcase. But, I mean, we have trio champions, and it's in the Death Riders, you know, Claudio, Yuta, and Pac. We never see them carry the damn belts. They have belts. You don't see them carrying them. You know, Kenosuke Takeshita has had maybe one or two title defenses on TV.
Two defenses. Okay. Takeshita, because I started going through the stats. Takeshita has had two defenses in AEW. They were both on pay-per-view.
Yeah. Other than that, you don't see him do anything with the international championship, it's as if it doesn't exist until they realize, oh, we need to have a match for the international championship. And it's just a match, you know? It's a match that we all know is going to be good, but there's nothing going for it. Like, and Okada, similar situation with the Continental Championship. And as much as I love my girls on the women's division, I still say the women's division is the best that it's ever been in the history of AEW. Their championships feel stuck right now because Mercedes is going through and beating everybody, and she's starting to feel like Mercedes these last few months. She finally feels like who we kind of signed up that what we were expecting when Mercedes came over to AEW, and that she's on this run of just being the best version of her. It's like, well, we can't cut it off now, but the problem is now you're left wondering, well, who the hell beats her now? And with Mariah, it's always been obvious. It's Toni Storm's title to win, but because of that, like, you're just... I mentioned this to Floyd, where I feel like the problem we're having with AEW with the championships and the runs in the championships that we have right now, the title reigns that we have, is I told Floyd, I was like, it's almost as like TK, when a title change happens, he writes the beginning, and then he writes who's going to take the championship after this reign is over, but all the things that are supposed to happen during the reign, he has no idea what's supposed to happen. He has no idea what is going to happen week to week. Like, there's no set out plan of what you're going to do when you have this belt. We know what's going to happen when you win it, and we know what's going to happen when you lose it, but everything in between, no goddamn clue.
I was on Cage Match doing my homework because...
Oh, sorry, my bad.
No, because the reason being is because I wanted to be able to talk about this intelligently. I didn't want to be, like, trying to pull up facts from my basic head and try to figure it out. So... you look at the champions in AEW, and my thing is, my argument is this. We could handle a not-so-great world title picture if you were cooking in the other parts of the company, right?
Right.
So, let's look at the champions individually, right? Daniel Garcia seems more focused on trying to get another title than keeping his title.
Right.
So, he was in the Continental Classic to win another title. He was
right.
In...
and let's not forget, too, we're coming off of Jack Perry holding that belt. So, we only just now got to a point where we thought, okay, now the TNT champion can do something. And now he doesn't even really care the fact that he has that belt.
So, he's trying to get the Continental Classic title. And I understand the story from last year. I get it. Whatever. Okay. I can let that slide. Whatever. Alright, then he gets a title shot against Mark Briscoe, which he has to win while a roll-up. Again, this guy is one of your new stars, one of your new push-ups, and you're having him win with roll-ups, right? So he wins with one roll-up, I'm fine with, okay? Then the next time we see him, which is 4 days later, he's in the world title number one contender gauntlet. Again, the TNT champion. Shouldn't he be focusing on, you know, defending and keeping his title? Well, let's try to get another title. He doesn't win that. Fine. So then the next time we see him, which is at Collision, he wrestles Katsuyori Shibata, which, I mean, did you think Shibata had a chance of winning this match?
No.
No, okay. We get Katsuyori Shibata, and he wins with a roll-up against Shibata. He can't even just beat Shibata. Everybody beats Shibata. Why is he rolling up Shibata? Okay, and it's just like, okay, so that's the TNT title, Continental title. Okada's wrestling like Ishii on the Collision this week. Fine, I like Okada versus Ishii. I'm not going to bitch about Okada wrestling Ishii. But I'm saying, I mean, again, I don't want to be one of those guys. This is an open challenge. This is it. Why is he fighting Ishii? Who did Ishii beat somebody? Okay, so nothing happens there, right? So... I feel like, all right, and then what's the other title? International title, we've already discussed that.
Yep.
Then Private Party.
CBS Championship, yeah, and then, yeah, tag team titles, yeah.
Yes, we are on this show after Private Party won the title. We said Private Party won the title. They're not over. Use this title reign to get them over. Do you feel like that's been done, Austin?
No.
They went away, and they've had, like, one title match, they just came, I mean, they came back to Dynamite for the first time since they won the titles. And it's just like, they feel like such an afterthought that when we finally see them at a celebration and a Hurt Business comes up, instead of being like, oh shit, why is the Hurt Syndicate picking on Private Party? We're like, oh, okay, so the Hurt Syndicate's going to be the new tag team champions.
Yep.
Which we should be like, Private Party should has had such a valiant title defenses where they've beaten all these teams that mattered and had all these amazing matches. We're like, oh, fuck, the Hurt Syndicate. We should supposed to not like them coming for the title. But we're like expecting it. So I will, my suggestion as a fan, as someone that wants to enjoy what's he watching at, we need better rivalries in the titles that are not the world title picture when we know the world title picture is on hold.
Mm-hmm.
There is not.
Well, that's the thing too. Yeah. It's like we know for a fact that we've said, especially with the world title, because Floyd and I said too, the one consistent thing is that whoever the world championship feud was almost always amazing, always great. Whether it was, you know, Swerve Strickland as champion, whether it was Hangman as champion, whether it was Punk as champion, whether it was Moxley's original reign, whether it was Jericho's original reign. Like, we've always had, the world title has never been an issue when it comes to AEW. Now it is. So, and it's because of the fact, though, it's like, we've said all the time, it's like, this spot is for Darby to win the world title. Like, they've set it up, Darby is going to win the world title. Well, my problem with that is, even though, here's the thing, I want Darby to be the world champion. He's my favorite wrestler in AEW. I love Darby Allin. This man has literally said on record, he is going to be gone for months because he's still working to try to climb Mount Everest. So when you know you're not going to have him for months because he's trying to climb Mount freaking Everest, why would you immediately lock yourself to the fact that, well, I can't have Moxley lose the title because if he does, there goes my moment with Darby Allin. Why would you lock yourself in that situation?
Exactly. And, you know, I love Darby. I love Darby. I am looking forward to a Darby reign as champion. I want to make that clear. This has nothing to do with it has nothing to do with whether I want Darby to be champion. It's just that this stuff with the Death Riders needs progression. And it hasn't had any progression since they've won the title. And it's largely boring.
Yeah, and again, it's speaking in riddles. There's no definitive reasoning and, like, definitive reason why they're attacking AEW and why they're trying to make AEW bend to their will. It's all this just talk in circles about you need to earn it and, you know, I want everyone to basically just fucking, I want it to be a war zone, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, it doesn't, like, your idea is that you're trying to take over the show, and you're trying to take over AEW and you're trying to make it look like the way you want AEW to look like, and nothing different. It's just every once in a while they come out and beat people up.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, it's like, again, this is not something we normally will go at, but it was such a big thing this week, and I see it from the voices of AEW wrestling, people I trust, people I listen to, people that give honest to goodness good criticisms. And I'm like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, can I really say you're wrong? And the answer was right. No, I can't say you're wrong. And it's just like, are you being nitpicky? No, not really. These are pretty obvious blunders, you know?
Right. No, and again, it's like, that's just with the world title. And Floyd knows, and if you've listened to this podcast enough, you know I've complained about the world title, and I've complained about Jon Moxley significantly more than Floyd has. Like, I've been the one that's just been like, oh my God, dude, I just do not care about Jon Moxley right now. And I've, again, he's never been my guy personally, but more so than anything, I've just been, like, completely disinterested with all of it. So that's one thing. But the championship thing, that does consist as more so as, like, the problem why I think it's reached all over fans. The entire show feels stuck.
Yes. And I watch, you know, we watch the show every week. Don't get me wrong. And I'm generally the last person off of any bandwagon. Not the first.
No, yeah.
I'm the last. they kind of pissed me off this week. And it was like, and it was sad because I do the 80-20 rule and I actually enjoyed 80% of the show. But the parts that I didn't enjoy so much that it actually affected some of my enjoyment of the show. And it was just like, oh, yeah. And it's just like having a bad main event pitcher. I mean, it's rough. Yeah. It's rough. But again, I get your main event pitcher. It's rough.
Yes.
Okay, I understand. You have your holding pattern. Well, give us something in all the other divisions. Right?
Exactly. And that's the thing, too, is where I'm at right now, whereas I was surprised that Chris Statlander lost to Mercedes for a second time when she lost to her at World's End, because I'm like, okay, so now you've beaten Mercedes has beaten Chris twice. She's beaten Anna Jay. She's beaten Hikaru Shida twice. She's beaten Britt Baker. She's beaten Nyla Rose. She's beaten Sky Blue. She's obviously beat Willow Nightingale. Willow Nightingale, I feel like, has got to get to a point where she gets a rematch right now, because right now it just feels like, I mean, Mercedes has had a really good reign right now, but she needs a feud. She needs a feud, and the Chris Statlander feud, she already won. She's done with it. And now we just need legit feuds for her. We're finally going to get the feud. We'll touch on it with Dynamite with Mariah May, so we're getting somewhere there. But Private Party needs a feud. Daniel Garcia needs a feud. Okada needs a feud. And just, that's where we're at right now, especially with the championships. And I think that's the fact that it's with almost every single main championship in AEW, I think that's why even the hardest of hardcore fans are being like, hey, we have a serious problem on our hands.
I completely, and when I say it's a serious problem, basically this is where I'm at on it's a serious problem. You're fine when you got the bad faith, people that aren't going to like AEW people bitching about everything. That's fine. That is a part of it. That is a part of the tribalism. That's part of anything. I accept that. I kind of just laugh and go on with my life. But when you're hardcores, when your foundation of what made AEW starts complaining about your show, you need to get in the room. You need to get in a room with your writers. You need to get in a room with your workers. You need to get in one of those, like, and be like, okay, what's not working? What is working? Give us something to be excited about.
And that's the thing, too, is we've talked about how before AEW has genuinely been shown a good track record of when shit doesn't work, they pivot. And they normally pivot in a way that's very entertaining.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not trying to say that they're fucked, because they're not. They can fix all of the issues. It's just going to take really good booking from TK. It's going to need to take buy-in from the talent, and it's going to need to take a lot of just really, really, really getting the fans' interest back. Because I think in terms of the, like, just interest with a lot of the storylines right now, majority of them pretty low. So but I still say we're going to talk about Maximum Carnage now. This was a good show. Like you said, Floyd, 80% of it, like, was really good. But some of the stuff that we didn't like, we really didn't like.
I was going to add this one last thing, and we'll go right into the review. With it just debuting on Max, and you're maybe getting a few new people to watch your show, this seems like the bad time to be in a booking slump.
Correct. I mean, we're all happy that we have Max and we can go back and watch old episodes of Dynamite, and we can reminisce on the years of AEW that we fell in love with and all that kind of stuff. And we love the fact that we have that at our disposal, and more episodes are getting added constantly. But at the same time, when you do get your new TV deal and you do get Max and you do get all these types of things, they put the money into the product expecting the show to do what it's been doing. Yeah. Not a great time for everything to kind of hit this point where you're just like, oh my God, can these storylines end? Or holy shit, like, why is this so not interesting? Like, yes, Floyd, I get what you're saying. So, but again, I think we got plenty of amazing stuff to touch on this show, though.
Let's go. Let's talk about it. I'm excited.
Yeah, because, I mean, dude, we opened up with Kenny Omega's first match on Dynamite in God knows how long. Let me look this up, actually, real quick. I need to make sure I know when this man's last match on Dynamite was. Just not even in AEW, just on Dynamite, because that shit, like, his new entrance I absolutely love too. Like, I love. So the fact that he has this new entrance, I absolutely, I cannot get over that whole theme, that whole everything, like the whole side of just can't get over that fucking massive, like, Final Fantasy influence on that shit, dude. It's so good, dude. It's so good. And he went up against Brian Cage. I've never really been big on Brian Cage, but they made him look like a beast in this match, and Kenny Omega had a lot that he had to fight through in order to be able to get the victory. So I thought, honestly, really, really strong performance when it comes to this match. I think it was a great way to open up the show. I think it was really, really good to have this whole thing take place. And again, this is a guy, Kenny Omega. He wrestled on Collision back in December of 2023. His last Dynamite match was back November 15th, 2023, when he was in that street fight match between Kota Ibushi, Paul White, and the Golden Jets versus Brian Cage and the Don Callis family. So, like, that was his last. That was his last fucking Dynamite. Like, holy shit, we've missed this man so goddamn much.
And where I'm at, or where I was with this match, is I was very excited for this match. The Machine against, you know, the Machine against the Best Bout Machine. Brian Cage is like, this is the match I came with. I did have one thing about this match that, like, I enjoyed the match. I understand Brian Cage is in a group called the Don Callis Family.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the Don Callis Family cheats. I get it. I would have liked this dude to just have a match. I think Brian Cage, this is like, it was his quote-unquote dream match, the reason he came to AEW. I think they should have let them go 20 minutes just putting on the best wrestling match they can, putting on a true banger. Then maybe at the very end, there's maybe a little interference or whatever, and then Kenny Omega. But they were telling a story in this match. Kenny Omega's still tender in the stomach because of the surgeries he's had. He was selling it. I get it. I get the purpose of this match. But again, last week, let's go back to last week, I said, I don't want no TV Kenny Omega. Give me that New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom, Tokyo Dome Kenny Omega.
Right. So you don't want it where it's like, oh, well, here's the Don Callis family helping interfere in the match to give Brian Cage the upper hand. And then afterwards, they beat him up and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, I wanted Kenny Omega to announce his return with authority. And I don't feel like this match announced his return with authority.
I think it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was
you're
good.
You're saying it's not what you expect with Kenny Omega, especially after what you got on Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes. I wanted that Kenny Omega. I wanted the Wrestle Kingdom Kenny Omega. And I'm not, this has nothing to do, this is how the match was booked. I understand, but I'm just like, dude, remind the people what they were missing. You know what I mean? And it was like, the entrance was great. They got in the match. I love seeing the One Wing Angel. He did, you know, he did good things, but it just wasn't that, come on, just give it to me. Just give it to me. Give me what you got. Now, they teased something after the match that, you know, got me wrestling aroused.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, the match was just good. And I don't want just good from Kenny Omega. I don't want good from Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega wakes out of the bed, wakes up in the morning and gets out of the bed, and he's already good. All
right? Right.
I want Kenny O fucking Mega. I want to be like, that's the Kenny Omega. But I can say this. Shout out to Tony Khan. First match of Dynamite, they have seemed to correct the first match of Dynamite to where we are getting bangers every week. And I would probably classify this. If any other wrestler was in there except Kenny Omega, I would have called this match a banger. But with Kenny Omega, it was like, I was all right.
Yeah, you're expecting more.
The bar,
sure. But
the
yeah.
bar is, the standard is higher for Kenny Omega.
It is. It's huge. but yeah, after the match, Kyle Fletcher, Lance Archer, they come out, they beat up on Kenny, going after his midsection. Will Ospreay then comes out, saves Kenny. They clear the ring, but that's when the international champion, Konosuke Takeshita, comes out. he and Omega are trading strikes. Kyle Fletcher then grabs Omega from behind. Finesse duplex. Fletcher thumbs Will Ospreay in the eyes. And then that's when Takeshita drops Ospreay. And they kind of tease Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega versus Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah, dude, throw all the stars at it. Okay, so just throw it out there. If you catch the, you're good there a couple times. I got a new headset. So
okay, yeah.
Fumbling around with the mute button that I'm not used to yet. So no, so you don't hear me heavy breathing while Austin talks.
Yeah.
No, but no, when I was like that match, yeah, it got me wrestling aroused. And somebody was like, although they're gonna do it in Australia. Okay. They're gonna do it next week. Cool. They're going to do it in a parking lot on a random Tuesday at a bingo hall. I'm fucking... let's go. This is a match I want to see. And the fact that we are seeming to build two rivalries here, and they could go either way. You could end up with Kenny Omega versus Takeshita whenever they do a pay-per-view for the international title. Or you could get Will Ospreay trying to get his international title back. And then Kyle Fletcher wrestling against Kenny Omega. You can do so many different versions of this. But either way, you have this title. And it seems like it's going to be in a feud or a rivalry or something. So again, it automatically matters again. So I'm excited for that.
That's, and again, it's good usage of Kenosuke Takeshita, I feel like, in this whole situation.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. He's dual, so the true, he's three signed right now. He's signed with DDT, New Japan, and AEW. AEW, make, in the end, he's going to make a choice eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure he knows why he should choose you, okay?
Yeah, for real. We cannot lose to this game.
Yeah, I'm not saying, hey, I like sharing him with New Japan. I do. Because honestly, it gives me more of a reason to watch New Japan, which I haven't had.
Especially when they're having Konosuke go up against goddamn Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, let's go. Let's I'm down with this being a good old fight, but you know, we gotta keep him booked well, so he's like, you know what? You know, AEW is where I'm supposed to be. Keep them booked well.
There you go. There was a real quick New York Minute with Chris Jericho just to get him on TV. So that way he said Cope was a dope and then talked about the 12-man tag match that's happening on Collision Maximum Carnage on Saturday. And basically just guaranteed, like, they'll be on the same page, the Death Riders and the Learning Tree. That's all that it's had to say. After that, Ricochet comes to the ring, and the fans just keep chanting Swerve's house at him. Whose house? Swerve's house. And Ricochet's just getting mad. He's talking to people, and he's looking all angry. And he goes, you know what? It's okay. That's how it's going to be? He goes, listen, a picture's worth a thousand words. He points to the Jumbotron to show the image of him beating up Swerve with the scissors and having him bloodied from last week. That's when Swerve's music hits. And he's looking down the ramp, looking to see Swerve come out. And that's when Prince Nana comes out, and he hits Ricochet in the back with a steel chair. Swerve comes out. He's got a chain, and he's going to swing it at Ricochet, but he gets out of the way. And Swerve chases him, but Ricochet still runs out. And, you know, Swerve was able to get a little bit of revenge. Not enough, though. He still needs to get his hands on Ricochet because he gets away. He didn't get away from the steel chair shot from Nana, but he got away from Swerve trying to kill him with a chain.
Yeah, you want to laugh a little bit. The gift that's going around is him hitting him with the chair and then immediately doing the dance right over his falling
body. Dude, it kills me.
Yes, and that was crazy. And, man, that chain. I don't know. Was that like a monster truck train chain?
I don't know where he got that.
I'm pretty sure that chain was bigger than Swerve. I mean, like, that was a big-ass chain, and I loved it. And, I somebody screamed, dog collar match. I'm like, dude.
That would be fire.
Dude, I was like, dude. You know, that's how my voice went. And I was like, I don't know where they're going with this, but it's going to be fun. Ricochet has found his happy place as a shit-eating heel, and it's amazing. And he's such a cocky, he carries himself so cocky. It's amazing.
For sure. There was a quick little cool highlight package of Mercedes Moné's media tour as the TBS champion. I thought that was pretty cool. And then we had the trios match between Mark Briscoe and Private Party versus the Hurt Syndicate. And, you know, this was all right. So, I thought it was fine.
So but there was this part at the beginning of the at Isaiah Cassidy grades the sign out. And it's like Private Party with Danny Garcia and they're all holding the belts, right? And if you are the hardcore AEW fan, the nerd that's on the internet like we are, you know Danny Garcia and Isaiah Cassidy are pretty tight, right? Why is this not Danny Garcia in this trios match?
Yeah, I don't know why Mark Briscoe's in this.
Like, I love Mark Briscoe. Mark Briscoe, charisma, he makes everything that he has work. But you have a third that works with them, that's another champion that seems to make more sense in this match than Mark Briscoe.
Again, and it just seems like right now they only really care about booking Daniel Garcia on Collision. Like, it just seems like that's consistently what we're getting right now.
Yes.
And I get it. That's the TNT show, but, like, come on. Don't landlock yourself like this.
I mean, but he can help his boys out in a trios match on
that's what I'm saying.
Dynamite, you know, and, you know, your AEW TNT, I mean, your TNT champion's actually on TV, you know, that'd be cool, right? But no, I thought this match was really good. I love seeing MVP. I did the ball in, because you know what?
Yeah.
I love that, man. He's been doing the same act for 20 years. I'm still not tired of it.
Dude, people love the Hurt Syndicate. They love them.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, as far as no spoilers on the results, but, dude, they were only a faction like 3 months in AEW, and you'll be surprised what they finished. It's kind of crazy. So people do love the Hurt Business. They got something there. They got something there. You know, always got my little critique. I think they're at this point they need to add a young guy to help, you know, get some new people over with that group, right? Because you do have 40-plus-year-old. They're an older faction. They all look 34, but they're an older faction. So, you know, get a young guy in there. Just, you know, even if it's just hanging around to get some, hanging around to get the rub, you know, whatever you got to do, you got to throw it with the Hurt Business.
Lee Moriarty, that's a guy you could do. Big Shoddy Lee Johnson's another one you could put in there, too, if you wanted. If you wanted to. Matt Caster.
Yeah, you could do, and you know what? You could do the biker gang thing. You don't even have to call them, you know, like full members of the Hurt Syndicate. They can be like, you know, whatever. Like, hey, we're taking them under our wing. We're guiding them. But no, they're not in the Hurt Syndicate. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever like, you want to do, yeah.
Yeah, wrestling, this is a big, beautiful thing where there's so many different ways you can tell stories, you know.
Imagine Anthony Ogogo in there.
Yeah, Anthony Ogogo would work. Bowens.
Bowens, yeah.
Yeah, Bowens will work. Let's give someone else the rub. But again, they get the win. I think everybody's fully expecting the Hurt Syndicate to be your next tag team champions. As in, I will genuinely be shocked if they end up beating Hurt Syndicate, and I will shut up forever. If they give the Private Party the first win over the tag team Hurt Syndicate,
I would be stunned.
I will be stunned. I will shut the hell up. And I'm like, okay, they are trying to actually get their champions over. Because there's been a lot of title reigns in AEW. But Wardlow is the TNT champion. Did you feel like he was in a better situation after he was the TNT champion? The Guns was the tag team champion. Did you feel like they were in a better situation after they were tag team champions? You know, if you keep going through that, you start realizing people aren't in better situations after holding the titles.
Unless you're members of the Elite.
And Swerve, you know.
Yeah, but that's just because Swerve is Swerve.
It's because Swerve is Swerve right now. So let's see what happens with this. I'm excited for this. MVP is great. And, making them a cornerstone group of your company is not a bad idea. Because you respect all three members of that team.
Yeah. We then...
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh,
They'd be too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get to one of the big complaints that we had, I feel like, with last
week's
show.
2 weeks in a row, the dead segment is the same two people.
It's the same goddamn thing. We just said, you got some solid stuff, and including a really great opening match. You kind of keep it going. You got this little stretch of just, you know, enjoyable stuff to watch on Dynamite. And then you just have this, like, 30-minute-long promo segment that just felt like it would never end.
Daniel Garcia pile drove MJF off the second rope after he lost to him, right?
Yep.
Seems like a logical thing with Daniel Garcia being the TNT title. Hey, MJF has unfinished business. And then they
it's
go
crazy, work. Dude. They don't do rematches.
Yeah.
There's just no rematches. Like, Willow hasn't gotten a rematch against Mercedes. MJF hasn't gotten a rematch against Daniel Garcia. It's like...
Yeah. So,
you know, you can do rematches. That is a thing you can do when they win the championship. It's an easy way to have your first title defense be a rematch.
So it feels like when MJF is done with Adam Cole, maybe he goes after the TNT champion who he's already beaten twice. Oh, my God. That seems like it's just a natural feud, right? No. What is he going to do? He's going to fight Jeff Jarrett. Now, respect for Jeff Jarrett, and I know people probably try to get... Here, because the disclaimer, when I do the disclaimer, it usually means I'm about to say something very bad about them afterwards. I respect Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett has been on the TV for pretty much as long as I've been alive, right? I don't care about this. Maybe this is a I thought it was a personal thing. I thought it was a thing that I was just going to have to get through. Then I went on the Social Suplex Discord. And you clicked on AEW spoilers. No one cares about this feud. MJF cuts the same thing. It's the same program. It's the same this. It's the same that. And it's just like, I like when MJF is wrestling, cutting promos in a feud that I care about. There is literally no one better on the mic. But this 15-minute segment felt like it was 45 in my body.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, were there some good lines in there? Absolutely.
Yeah.
MJF saying Jeff Jarrett is the last thing you see before your favorite wrestling company dies. That's a little too meta, first of all.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's calm down a little bit. His comments about Jeff Jarrett's wife.
Called her a
Jeff
slut. Jarrett. And then
yep.
He calls the girlfriend a slut. And I'm just like, I mean, what are we doing? It's 2025, bro. 2025.
and then you've got Jeff Jarrett calling him a one-hit wonder again and doing all this type of stuff. Again, dude, it's like...
Did we just do the same segment? Mm-hmm. They said, okay, we missed some stuff in the last segment. Let's just run it back this week. Because it felt much like the same segment.
Well, and again, too, I mean, like, let's be frank right now, dude. This is like the same kind of promo that Max cut in just a few weeks ago on Collision against Adam Cole.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And again, if it's in a feud that people care about, you know, we were fine dealing with, you know, when Punk was feuding with MJF, he did the whole thing where he's like, you got to beat all these guys to get through me. And we didn't really care because the feud was so interesting and so intriguing and everything they were doing with the promos and the video packages and everything leading up to the actual match was so intriguing that, like, we didn't care. Like, if it had similar hits to previous MJF feuds, we didn't care.
Yeah, but you're giving MJF and Jeff Jarrett 15 minutes into your 2 hours. And I'm just like, again, I posted this, and I never thought I would say this. absolutely. If I was a person that turned the channel during wrestling, I would have turned the channel during that segment.
Damn.
I don't turn the channel. No matter what, I just wear it out. But if I was a person that turned the channel, like if you were like, if there was just something else of importance on Wednesdays, that I would have turned it on that, because I didn't care about anything they said. Jeff Jarrett was basically no-selling MJF, so what MJF said, and then they brought up the Owen thing, and it was just like, okay, that's what got Jeff Jarrett to fight, and I'm just like, again, this felt like the longest fucking segment in AEW history. I know it wasn't. I'm saying what it felt like, so I am using hyperbole, okay? This felt like the longest segment ever, and I just could not wait for it to be over.
Yep, dude, I mean, again, like I said, it's just, I love MJF. Thank you. Him being in AEW is like one of the biggest strengths that AEW has. They have one of the best heels in the business. They have one of the best characters in wrestling. He is consistently always been entertaining. But, and I have, like you said too, Floyd, I have an unbelievable amount of respect for Jeff Jarrett. Obviously, you more so, because you watched this man throughout his decades of being in wrestling. You watch this man through years upon years upon years of work that he's done in multiple companies and successful in multiple different iterations of pro wrestling. And he's seen the highs and lows of the industry through decades.
Dude,
We have all this respect. But at the same time, though, you know, I'm all for, you know, a last ride. We all loved it with Sting's last ride. And Sting, you know, obviously became tag team champion. It was a very similar thing to like how he wanted to become tag team champions with Darby before he ran off, before he walked off into the sunset and all that kind of stuff. So like they're kind of trying to do the same similar sort of thing with Jeff. Problem is, though, is you're doing it with the world championship. Like him and MJF both want to go after the world title. And
yes.
Look, man.
And if you thought Jeff Jarrett could win the world title, I might be more interested in this.
Yes, but you know he can't.
You know he can't. It's a feud where you already know the ending.
Yeah. And because, again, too, it's like, what was Jeff doing before he had this last little bit of like, this is my last ride, this is my last blah, 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 blah. Dude, literally a year or two ago, he was doing a Texas Chainsaw Rat Massacre match.
Yeah.
And now, we make this switch to this emotional Cowboys last ride, and he's trying to go after the world title. It just, we took a jump from where we were to where, like, from point A to point B, there was a fucking massive jump. And, like, are they going to have a good match? Yes. Like, I'm never going to discredit that. But, like, at the same time, too, man, you just take the energy of the crowd, you take the energy of the way people are talking about this feud, and it's just nothing. It's truly nothing.
Absolutely. No, I mean, yeah, we can move on because I feel like this is going to just be more negativity, and that's not really our bag.
Dude, trust me, dude. We got plenty of great shit to talk about. Christian Cage goes up against Hook. Hook immediately goes right after Christian Cage in this match. This match I thought was fun. I enjoyed Hook finally getting his hands on Christian Cage and being involved in this. I was very much enjoying this. I thought they were really doing well in this match and just getting after each other. Obviously, there's a lot of build leading up to this match, and I think they paid off for a lot of it. And even then, too, it's like you have the point, too, where the match, Hook had the red rum, and then you had a DQ finish. You had a DQ finish where, you know, you could continue it down the road. Hook looks cool, but Christian doesn't lose, you know. It's typical TV booking that is, like, it is what it is with wrestling. It's like, that's how you keep matches to the point where you have builds towards bigger matches on pay-per-view. So he has the red rum in. He gets jumped by Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian. Disqualification. They were going to get a concerto on him, but then literally did not see this coming from a mile away. Samoa fucking Joe is back. He comes out, he cleans house on the patriarchy, reunites with Hook and Shibata, and oh my god.
Yeah.
Joe we have fucking missed you. Hey, man, Sweet Tooth and your performance of Sweet Tooth in Twisted Metal, great work. But Jesus Christ, man, we've needed you back for a while, and it's so good to have you back, because, dude, like, my God, man.
Yeah,
like, we've needed a guy like Samoa Joe back on the roster, and now that we have him, like, I never want to let him go. Like, I'm so glad Joe is back, and I'm like, I was fucking ecstatic when I heard his music. I couldn't believe it. It was a genuine, really, really good surprise.
Yes, and the best part about it is they teased. So Taz has had a double knee replacement, so he's had this surgery and stuff, and they teased Taz coming in the ring.
They did, yes.
And then he comes in, he's like, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Again, a face actually having a friend to show concern for him, and I know this is weird. When baby faces actually show concern for their partners and groups, it's crazy. So he gets up, and then Samoa Joe, and it was funny. When Shibata came out early for Hook to have his back, I was like, oh, Joe's coming back. I just knew it was happening. Then that music hits, and that pop, and everybody was excited. Samoa Joe is back. So now, this is a feud, right? Hook, Joe, and Shibata against the patriarchy, who has three people, also waiting in the wings, hopefully getting well soon, you know, and feeling better, Luchasaurus or Killswitch. So you got something you can build with there. You got some entertaining TV here. It's six people you actually want to see wrestle on your TV. Let's go.
Yeah, I am so hype about this, dude. Like I said, it's something that's got me immediately intrigued about all this, man. I'm so hyped for it.
I'm a hooker maniac. I'm a real hooker over here. So I am not jumped off the Hook bandwagon. I know people have, but I just think where he's at, the short amount of time he's been doing this, right? Like on national TV, we're watching this man grow. So if he doesn't do something particularly well, I'm not really worried about it on January 15th, 2025. I'm wondering how that's going to relate in January 15th, 2030. That's what I'm thinking about. And I think in that years, with the experience, working with the people we want, Hook's going to be what we need him to be. He's just not there yet because he's growing up in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I think he's going to get better and better. And like I said, he has gotten better and better, in my opinion. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see his growth continue. And I just think it's going to be exciting to see. So moving on, though, we had the Women's Casino Gauntlet match. When they were getting a title shot against Mariah May at Grand Slam Australia. Match opened up with Chris Statlander and Jamie Hayter. It was cool to see these two go at it to start off the match. And then afterwards was debuting Megan Bain.
The Megasis! Megan Bain. I want to give her all her props. I got a lot of funny jokes I can tell about, you know, who she's with or whatever. But no, none of that, because this woman deserves her respect. Immediately coming out, looked like a star. I was excited. Then you saw her work with Chris Statlander. You saw her work with Willow. You saw her work with it, and it was just like, oh, shit, we're about to get some matches that bang.
Yeah. No, it was very, very cool to see her. Unfortunately, no one in the crowd really knew who she was, which is a shame.
I don't really blame them, because I feel like the old AEW crowd would have popped like crazy for her.
Yes.
But we are in a new AEW crowd, a little bit more casual crowd. She mainly has done her stuff in Stardom and GCW. No video package, no nothing. This is kind of the reaction you was going to get. But I think the idea was for you to look at her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is an imposing figure.
You know. She had some great moments in this match, dude. She really got some chances to shine in this one. Like, flying at her. Julia Hart thing comes out. I love how she immediately just looks towards Jamie Hayter, and she's just like, hey, Jamie. And Julia's got these mind games on her. Little Nightingale comes out, and goddamn, she's fucking over. Like I said, she needs to get a rematch against Mercedes at some point because she's over as shit. Tony Storm comes out next, and then Harley Cameron is the seventh member of the Gauntlet match. I thought this was really cool. And I think they did really, really well in this match. Everyone got a chance to really shine. And obviously, Toni Storm, the rookie, gets the surprise win. And she goes out and she manages to roll up Julia Hart in a small package and pin her. And she will face Mariah May in Australia at Grand Slam. One thing, minor nitpick. That graphic came up way too goddamn quick with Tony in it. Like, the moment she won the match, 2 seconds went by and they already had the graphic made. Wait. You gotta wait. Because the idea is that you're making the graphic live, and it could have been anybody in that match that could have won it. Like, don't do it 2 seconds, because then it just makes it seem obviously, like, you know, it's a pro wrestling. We know it's all fake and all that kind of stuff. But, like, just wait. Just wait, like, 30 seconds before you throw it up there. That's all. It felt like they were rushing to get to the main event from this finish, because they were just like, they just kept rolling real quick just to quickly get to the point where they get Moxley versus Powerhouse Hobbs. That was another only complaint, but here we are. This is the match. Toni Storm, Mariah May, this is the match for the Women's World Championship we've been building towards, we've been waiting for, and we finally have it. So now you've already got a program for the women's title that gets people involved and all that kind of stuff. It's exciting to see Megan Bain. She's officially signed to AEW, so her being on the roster, I think, is going to help the women's division as well. Like I said, Willow's over. Julia Hart is over. Statlander's over. Jamie Hayter, if you just give a little bit more to do with Julia Hart and Jamie Hayter, their feud, I think, can continue to get better if you give them more segments and you get them more time to be able to do some more stuff. And I think they can do really well. Again, this was a good showcase of the women's division, and I think Toni Storm and Mariah May are going to kill it in Australia.
Back, what I was saying is the great thing about this is I really enjoyed the Casino Gauntlet and the women's. I love that they had Megan Bain. They gave a surprise, which I thought was necessary. There's some names I would love to see, like, either Ty Mello or Britt Baker or one of the women that you know are on the roster that didn't get in to complain about not getting in, like, next week or next Saturday. Like, I was the next one, and then Tony got the roll up. I think that would be something interesting to do, just like they do with the men's group. I could see them doing the Casino Gauntlets, like, twice a year when they don't have a number contender for the title to help get some up, and it was perfectly, this was done, because, you know, someone brought up the idea of, like, this is all an act by Toni Storm to get Mariah to lower her guard so Toni Storm, you know, can beat her. And I was like, man, that's a great story. Let's see if they do it. And I couldn't get around that, but yes, when she got all excited, and I just think, like, right now, Toni Storm, like, her work right now, her work over the last year between Timeless Toni and this has been, like, my favorite in wrestling. And I know some people out there might say, oh, the amnesia thing is hokey or whatever. I don't know. To me, it's the R-Truth rule, right? If you put your all into it, right, it's going to make a difference. And that's what I feel like Toni Storm. I feel like you could give this storyline to, like, 20 other women and it would suck. But Toni Storm is so good at committing that she has made this otherwise not great storyline work amazing.
1,000%. And then, like, dude, she won a PWI award for one of the best women's wrestlers of 2024. And for good reason, dude. She's absolutely outstanding. And everything she's done, it just shows the creativity of her and shows the ability of her just being, like, she's just got a mind for this, dude. And like I said, I'm so hyped for her and Mariah May. I think they're going to do amazing. And this whole different angle. I love the fact, too, that Mariah was playing it up like she didn't even know her. like she didn't know who this person was, and like, you know, this is the first time they were acting like you know, that they'd never fought before. I like how she's playing into it too. It adds another psychological level to it, and it's got me very intrigued what the promos leading up to this match is going to be like, because I think it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
We move in now to Jon Moxley versus Powerhouse Hobbs for the AEW World Championship. I will say this has been one of my favorite matches of Moxley's title run, because I think Hobbs genuinely brought a good amount of fight through to Moxley. His bleeding on the side of his ear after he gets his ear bit, dude, like, that was a moment that, like, you know, it made the match. It made Hobbs look dangerous. And I think Hobbs, dude, he's arrived. I think Hobbs is a guy that, you know, we've tried many times with him before, and it's been kind of start and stop. But, I mean, like, dude, he's got such a level of intensity, and he's one of those guys, too, that just is – he's a killer, and I think he's fresh. I think he's a guy that, you know – hopefully gets more work, and this isn't the last we've seen him in the title reign, picture, because I think he did really, really well in this match. Unfortunately, though, like I said, I don't like that he just lost by getting choked out. I just personally, I felt like with the way that Hobbs had been building a lot of momentum, like, I don't want him to just get choked out and lose.
I thought this was a great place for a non-finish.
That's what I thought. I felt like Hobbs is in a position where you don't want to kill his momentum. Obviously, Moxley is not going to lose the title. We all know that. But, like, you know, you could have had a non-finish in this situation, I feel like. Because, and that's the idea, too. I mean, like, if you have a group that their whole idea is that they're causing mayhem and havoc in AEW, and they want to just make sure that they have an iron fist and you can't get anything done unless it goes through them. Wouldn't the idea of the Death Riders consistently interfering in matches and causing it so Moxley doesn't even have a clean finish through any of his matches, doesn't that make more sense than him just choking everybody out? You know, if the idea is they're just causing mayhem, wouldn't having more non-finishes and DQs with these guys make way more sense than Moxley just choking out guys that are quality contenders that then have to go back down the card after they lose definitively against the champion? Doesn't that make more sense?
Yes. I mean, I want to start with, because I want to be positive, Will Hobbs, hell of a performance. Jon Moxley, head of a match. I truly think they have a better match in them, but I thought this match was great.
The moment of the blood coming out of Moxley's ear was an image. That's an image, and that's a moment they created, for sure.
It was a very physical world title match. If I'm just going nitpick, I would have liked a couple more real false finishes where he hit him with the spine buster or the slam, and Jon Moxley, like, barely kicks out. I do think those are important in the excitement. But other than that, him getting choked out, he didn't tap out, he didn't get pinned, he got choked out. Yes, Mox was wrestling early big men in AEW, that's a lot of times how he picked them. He's like, dude, I can't beat you, so I'm just going to basically make it where you can't breathe anymore. I got that. Things that bothered me in this match, because you got to go to things that bother me. First of all, and this is when you take everything in encompassing as a wrestling fan. You have announced a 6-on-6 match, right?
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally you would think the 6 people in that match, you know, there's 5 other people in that match would have your back, right? So at the beginning of the match, all the Death Riders are out there and they're all jumping in the ring. Where's Rated FTR?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Where is Rated FTR? Okay, cool. We get to the match. They then interfere in the match. Where is Rated FTR? Then we get to the end of the match, and he loses. And they're jumping him after the match. The match is over. So even if he asked you to stay back during the match, the match is over. Where the fuck is Rated FTR? The Death Riders take his leg, wraps him up in the chair. Before that happens, where the fuck is Rated FTR? Then they step on his leg. All of a sudden, Rated FTR's music hits. What in the fuck? Why? I've been watching wrestling all my life. And I mean, the reason I'm an FTR fan is because I've always rooted for the bad guys. Why? Because they're smart. And they're actually loyal. And they actually have their friends back. And that is not supposed to be the traits of a bad guy. If Mox was out there and Rated FTR had his legs in a chair, fucking Death Riders are going to do everything they can to come get them. Why aren't the good guys doing the same thing? And I know this is a good guys not have no friends, but good Lord, last night it was so blaringly just bad. He's already booked to be in a 12-man tag with you. Wouldn't you want him to go in the 12-man tag healthy? Even completely selfish. Wouldn't you want him to go in healthy? You literally let his leg get stepped on by the chair and then come out.
Yeah.
This is terrible writing. Who the fuck's writing this? I'm not, like, I am suspension of disbelief. I am all that stuff to ever. But this is obviously just, like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, no, again,
They got me mad at Rated FTR. I was mad at Rated.
Yeah, you can't do that, dude. Don't let them get mad at that. Like, come on.
I got mad. I came out of this mad at my boys. What the fuck are they doing? Are they
like,
scared?
Why did you wait? Why did you wait all that time?
Yeah, why the music got a hit? Like,
yeah, your music don't got a hit. Just go.
Run and fuck them up. You're like waiting on a pop? No, just show up.
Just show up and help out, dude. That's all you got to do. Know. Yeah. Like, no, yeah, like, the ending like, of that, like yeah. I said. And again, like the 12-man match itself. No, go ahead.
If Will Hobbs joined the Death Riders on Collision, I would be 100% behind him.
We understand. We understand, good sir. No, and again, dude, it's like the 12-man match they have coming up for Collision, dude. It's like I told you, there's very instances, and AEW's done it before in the past where they've had multi-man matches with a shitload of people in them that I do come out of being like, that was really good. But I am inclined, when you get to like 8-man tag, 10-man tag, 12-man tag, I am inclined not to give a shit. Because I think multi-man tag matches with that many people, it's just too much. I cannot get intrigued with that many people in a match, like, unless it's a battle royal. Like, I can't. There's just not a level of interest for me with that type of match. So already, you have a massive plot hole in that little segment for this match because of the match that you have announced for Collision that I already don't really care too much about. So, like, yeah.
So, I don't know. I was like, I ended the show mad at my favorite tag team and my favorite
trio. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Like, what the hell were y'all doing back there? I mean, I know Dax likes tequila, but come on, man.
Wake up.
What is going on?
Yeah. Again, I want to make sure we come out of this again. Powerhouse Hobbs, dude, I want this man to continue to, like, just, he's got such a level of steam behind him, I feel like, with the way that he's been performing and the way the crowd is behind him, and the meat chant is his, and he's using it. That's a key thing. He is using it, and it's working. So I hope that Hobbs continues to get booked in situations like this, because I think he's great. I think he's one of those guys, like, if you wanted to put him in the Hurt Syndicate, too, that's another guy that we said before. You could put him in that, too. But I feel like even as a singles guy, dude, he's shown he can do it by himself. He's that intimidating. He's that entertaining to watch. So just more than anything, I just want to take this out of that is that Hobbs, I feel like he's that dude, man. And Floyd, you've sang his praises for years.
Yes, I am a big Hobbs guy. I would not mind him squashing Jericho to win the ROH world title.
I don't think anybody would.
Like minute and a half, just straight. Like that, their match they had on Dynamite, he just kills them and beats them. I wouldn't be mind having him do that. I think there's a lot of places you can put Will Hobbs, and I'm big on if you can't find a pace for someone that looks like that on your TV, and you got 4 hours of TV, I don't know what you're doing. I'm like, dude, all he needs is 5 minutes to squash somebody, and it's like, oh my God, it's Will Hobbs kind of thing. So. He can do a lot with a little, So keep them on your TV. And, you know, again, okay, 40, 50, 100 years of professional wrestling. I understand stuff that, understand wrestling has been done a certain way and shit worked in the 80s. And that was great that it worked in the 80s. That, it literally raised me. Okay, we can try different things in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
We can be like, oh, because I was talking to JR when this happened. I was like, man, and bear with me for a couple minutes while I book the main event with the exact same ending, right? They're in the middle of the ring, right? They're in the middle of the ring. All the Death Riders are out there, right? Oh, Will Hobbs, not being an idiot, kind of waves his hands or whatever, and you hear the FTR music hits, and there's a pop. They come out and attack the three members of Death Riders, right? Still leaving Marina there, right? Marina's there, right? They start their match. Like, Moxley is, like, looking outside the ring. He is like, I can't believe this is going on. He turns around. Spine buster. Will Hobbs. Oh, my God. He almost beats him, right? Do the rest of the middle of the match basically the same. Marina Shafir gets involved with the suitcase. Out comes Willow. Her and Marina Shafir starts fighting. Oh, we're getting Will Hobbs versus Jon Moxley one-on-one. Are they going to pull the trigger? Will Hobbs hits his big move or whatever. Somehow Claudia Wheeler breaks away from the fight, comes out, gives the knee to Will Hobbs, gets back in the ring. Moxley hits the DDT and then the choke, and that's how Will Hobbs loses. They start preparing to get his knee, lock his leg up in the chair. The rated FTR comes back towards the ring, clears out the ring. Will Hobbs still loses. Mox still wins, but the baby faces don't look stupid. And you get some false finishes from Will Hobbs. The same match, the same people, same ending. Yeah. I feel like it's more entertaining the way I like. And that's why I say this is me talking as a fan. Like, I want to get involved. I want to be worked. I want to be worked. I know there are so many people out there that are like, oh, I wasn't worked. They didn't get me. No, I want to be worked. I love to be worked. That's the fun about it, dude. I want to get you to question shit. I want one, two, kick out at three, and I jump out of my chair in my house.
Yes.
I want those moments. Work me. That's why I watch the fucking show. I can't even wrap my head around somebody that watches the show and doesn't want to be worked. That's the show.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, work me. And it's like, with a lot of these things, it feels like it's just... It's not complete changes to what they do. It's just tweaks that would make shit more interesting. Except the MJF Jeff Jarrett thing. Just throw that right in the fucking trash can. Okay.
Too much, dude.
Other than that, it feels like there are so many great things that they're doing that can be slightly tweaked to make them better.
Yeah. And again, dude, like we said, the problems that we have with AEW are not like, holy shit, the company's crumbling to the ground. It's not like that. We have told you, and we believe, like, they can fix all of this. It's not even a question. Like, we've seen them get out of worse situations, and they've been able to turn lemons into lemonade on a number of occasions. So we're not concerned about that. But, you know, these are problems. And you need to jump on them. Because now, like I said, tying back to the beginning of the show, now your hardcore fans are starting to get irked. And when you're doing smaller venues and when you're like having fans screaming about, oh, it's the downfall of AEW, you want to make sure you have your ride or dies with you and you don't want to piss them off. So
you seem to have this 20,000 seat like arena to sell out before July. And it's like, you're supposed to be selling more tickets, not less tickets.
Correct. That's basically it. So, but that was AEW Dynamite, Maximum Carnage. A good show, I would say. It was a good show. There was obviously one big thing we did not like with the MJF and Jeff Jarrett segment. But, I mean, dude, we got Kenny Omega back wrestling on Dynamite. So it's immediately a good show just on that
regard alone. So there's that. The Casino Gauntlet match I thought was really good for the women. And I think there's still plenty to be excited about with AEW. Just tweak out these issues. And then AEW will just, they'll be going, dude. They'll be rolling.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. It's just like, just tighten it up. I ain't even trying to talk about major overhaul. I see online major overhaul. I don't think it needs to be a major overhaul. Just tighten this shit up. Make sure you're putting something on the show every week that can't miss.
Samoa Joe, kill John Moxley for 5 hours straight, and I'll be good.
Yes.
I'll be good. But real quickly, they did announce the time for AEW Grand Slam Australia, obviously with the announcement of the first match for AEW Grand Slam Australia with the women's championship match between Mariah May and Toni Storm. It will be, Floyd, do you want to go ahead and give the detail on that?
Yes. So it's going to be a TV special, not a pay-per-view. Right now, it's supposed to be Saturday, February 15th. It's going to be streaming on Max. From what I understand, it's just going to come on at Collision's regular time. So Saturday at 7. It's going to be on a tape delay because it's done in Australia. But, yeah, it just looks like that's what we're going down to. The problem is that it does come on TNT. And right now, the NBA All-Star Weekend is supposed to be on TNT on Saturday, February 15th. I, for some reason, don't think AEW is going to be preempting the NBA, so it's probably going to end up on TBS. So,
good chance, I would say.
Yeah, just watch it. I'm big on. I want to show it live. That's where I'm at. I just want it to be live. That's the big thing with me.
So, right, I can agree with that too. But that's where we're at right now with that show. For Collision this Saturday in Cincinnati, of course, we have the 12-man tag match between the Death Riders and the Learning Tree versus Rated FTR, Powerhouse Hobbs, and the Outrunners. We're also going to get a match between Harley Cameron and Julia Hart, which I'm very excited for. Dude, Harley Cameron's basically becoming the queen of Collision at this point, dude, because she's wrestling so much.
Dude, and this is what I was going to say about this with Harley Cameron. Okay, I need you to treat your champions like they're Harley Cameron. Harley Cameron gets all the freaking TV time, and I love it, and I love Harley. I love Harley. I think she's amazing, but I'm just saying, it's like, yeah, she's getting all the TV time. It's like, okay, you, how about you do the same, put the same energy into one of your titles, whichever one, I don't care.
I agree, but also too, Harley Cameron, she's getting over, and she's improved dramatically, and I just love her just reaching this level, dude. Like, she gets misted in the face by Julia Hart, and she's immediately got a match on Collision to get her back.
She is at this point where she has about 6 months to really start working on, where she needs to start winning. Because this has been fun.
Yeah, and she needs a feud, too.
Yeah, this has been fun and all that stuff. But you know how our fan base is. Yeah, okay, this is fun. This is great. Okay, so when is she winning the title? Okay?
Yeah, or when is she having a feud with a major female talent?
Yeah, so they need to, what they're doing right now is working with her, but it does need to evolve soon. And, you know, just like I said, it's just, it's unfortunately the time we live in. Like, shit gets stale really quick, man. People like, okay, what's the next thing? Really quick. And you have to adjust with that.
Yeah. Pretty much, dude. That's kind of just what it is. And then also on Collision, we're also going to have Kazuchika Okada versus Tomohiro Ishii for the Continental Championship. Should be a very, 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 very exciting match. And then you're going to have a Texas Death Match between Hangman Page and Christopher Daniels.
Yes, and I have not read spoilers for it, even though we probably know who's going to win. But the big thing is I've heard that it was a super bloody, super, good, great match, and that everybody was into it and the crowd was into it. So I'm looking forward to Saturday when
I'm hyped, man. Just don't make CD's eyes bleed anymore. I can't see that man with like a bloody cornea again.
No, don't do that. That's nasty.
It's gross. I can't take it. It's no.
That's basically it. Other than the fact that obviously additional news that we have, obviously we said Megan Bain, she signed with AEW. And we've touched on, I know we touched on it a little bit last week with Malakai. I mean, people are just, we're just seeming like Julia's touched on it a little bit. She got interviewed and asked about it too, where it seems to be pointing that he's done with AEW. Again, I need to see a definitive proof because this shit's happened multiple times with Malakai.
I would be so
happy. I think it's pretty much, I would love it if he's still here, obviously. But.
I would love it if this was some kind of major twist to get him, you know, like, involved in something. And then maybe, you know, but if he's done, he's done. I'm big on, you know, I'm big on if you don't want to be at AEW, you know, for the most part, you know, let you go. And if you, maybe he's just done wrestling. I don't know. I've heard a lot of rumors and, you know, I've heard a lot of, you know, good things. I've heard a lot of not great things about him, which I'm not going to spread that information because, you know, I don't know if it's true. I don't work there. Yeah, I wish him the best on whatever he does. If he goes back to WWE, you know, I don't think he ever wanted to leave WWE. So I'm not going to get, like, too heartbroken about it. It wasn't like it was just like, well, you know what, I'm going to bet on myself and leave WWE. It was like he got released, you know, shortly after his wife got signed back. So, no, I wish him the best. I was never a massive Malakai Black fan. I've never been like, oh, Malakai Black sucks. I've just kind of been like, hey, man, they'll use them the way they use them. I just never just been like that emotionally invested in Malakai Black. He's pretty dope, though. You know?
He's very good at wrestling, I'll say. He's consistently great. And again, with how great the House of Black is as a faction, you would have thought maybe he would have gotten more chance to go after singles championships. They got the trios titles, but like you would have thought that they would have given them more singles championship opportunities, but maybe that's just me because I just feel like the House of Black has consistently had a look that fans love. So yeah, that's really the only thing I say.
Dude, they did some good stuff, but I feel like when you talk about missing the boat with a faction, I truly think House of the Black was one of those misses. And the reason I mean it, they should have been the top faction in AEW at some point. Because they are so over. Their entrance was so over. Brody King, he has a chant. Wrestlers and fans love the chant. And there's not a person that I know in the wrestling community that doesn't respect Buddy Matthews as a worker. So it's like they seem to have everything. They have the entrance. They had the presentation. They have the look. They can all wrestle. They, you know, when it's time to cut a promo, they're all the creepy, spooky promo works. Julia Hart works with their faction. It seemed like they had everything to be the biggest thing in professional wrestling, and they never reached there. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of where we're at right there. So, it's disappointing, but... Well, you know, we'll see where that ends up going. Obviously, we hope to see Malakai back in AEW because I think he's great. But, you know, we'll have to just see how that all shakes out.
It's one of those things. He's only going to be great if he wants to be there. So I want him there if he wants to be there.
Pretty much, yeah. If he wants to be there, yeah. Yeah. I think that's a fair thing to say, too. Yeah. So, but I think that's going to do it, though, for this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, first of all, thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up for the situation that I'm in right now, recording off my phone. Should have it sorted out, at least the recording situation, by tomorrow. House thing's going to be like a whole fucking 6 months or so that we're going to have to deal with. But regardless, we appreciate you guys listening and putting up with my shitty audio for the week. If you guys enjoyed the show, continue to download it on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to us on. Rate, review, subscribe, share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and follow us on Twitter. We are at @ATElitePod on Twitter. You can also follow @SocialSuplex, who make this show possible, and check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And I'm going to pass it off to my buddy Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Everyone, I have a major, major announcement. To my friend, Austin, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I remember my 28th birthday. That is a lie. I don't. That was a very long time ago. I don't remember what I was doing on my 28th birthday. I believe I was married to another woman at that time. But congratulations on your 28th birthday. You've done more at 28 as far as like wrestling stuff, where you're at in your career. Dude, at 28, I was like working at a call center just like, God, there has to be something better in this world. So I am very proud of where you're at in your existence, and I hope you have a good day. You got any big plans?
Work right now today. I'll be working today, and then we're gonna figure out. Okay, I will say this to you, Floyd. Obviously, you know, with my job, I cover Detroit sports. The Detroit Lions play this Saturday. Me and my coworker Cole, who's my other sports reporter, the way we are deciding who covers which Lions game is we are doing best 2 out of 3, rock, paper, scissors. The winner decides what they want to do. Do you want a guaranteed playoff game that you'll get to cover, or do you want to roll the dice and want to cover the NFC Championship game?
Yes. Yeah.
And you know exactly what the hell I'm doing if I win.
When you said 2 out of 3, I assumed it was going to be 2 out of 3 on Madden. I thought you were going to play it out on Madden, but no.
Oh, God, no. I'd lose immediately.
And no, but so you're going to go for the NFC Championship, right?
Oh, 1,000%.
1,000%, which congratulations. I hope it ends up working out for you, whatever it is. But I am very proud that you are my tag team partner here. I wish you the best birthday ever. Use it. Try to get the company to buy you a big old steak dinner. Also, shout out to your sister.
Yes.
Miss Sydney Summerwizzy. She got accepted into vet school. I'm not going to say where because none of you freaks can stalk her. All right. So, but shout out to her for getting into vet school. It's been a kind of a good and bad week for the Summerwizzies, right? You know, it's kind of weird.
Been a wild week.
But I'd like to thank, and last but not least, Jackie. Feel better. She hasn't, my girl Jackie Rodriguez has not been feeling that great this week. So she got the shit. So I hope you feel better, Jackie. But
yes, feel better.
Yes, to all of you this weekend. 3:30 Eastern or 4:30 Eastern, 4:30 Eastern on Saturday. You are welcome. You get to watch the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, if they keep winning, I'm going to continue to be insufferable. Thank you. But if I happen to be the reason you hate the Chiefs and want them to lose, good. Okay. All right, so no, thank you everyone that listens for the show. Everyone that sent in, voted, I will definitely announce the winner. We will get together on getting you tickets to All In. I'm very excited to do this for the show. I mean, I remember when we first started, we were kind of a big giveaway show. We were giving away shit all the time. And, you know, I'm not going to go all the way to that anymore. You know, bills and inflation, motherfuckers. I'm going to do what I can when I can, but bills and inflation. No, I am just really excited to do the show every year. I'm glad Austin got, he brought some stability to this show. So I am glad that we could get to keep delivering content with you. And I hope I know we will be with you around AEW's next big wave. So, man, keep supporting our show. Keep supporting AEW, you know. Keep it in there, because you know what? We've all lived through the time where there was only one major wrestling promotion. Do you want to do that again? Do you want to do that again? I ask that. Are you that annoyed that you just want it to be WWE again? Ask that anytime you think about skipping the program. With that, I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh,
maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.